We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time she will choose life, but they can't do it without your help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR.
We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to be with you on this new edition of the program, our midweek edition of At The Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to be back with you live. I've been traveling to Greece doing our first annual Footsteps of Paul tour in Greece. We went to Athens, Corinth, Thessaloniki, which is how they pronounce it over there, and several other places there in Greece. So we had about 75 people with us from all around the country, mostly American Family Radio listeners, and we had a great time of fellowship and learning about the Apostle Paul's ministry there in Greece and that entire region there. So glad to be back with you, And the international travel will take a toll on you, and the TSA lines also took a toll on me. And I know we've all been reading the headlines about the TSA lines, and I can verify it's legitimate. The reports are legitimate. I was in JFK yesterday in New York, and 1 hour was how long I waited to get through security, which, from what I'm seeing at other airports, that's minimal. We're seeing 3, 4, 5 hour lines for TSA due to the partial government shutdown, which we'll talk about some this segment, and the dysfunction in Washington, D.C. Before we do that, let's turn our attention to the scripture. John chapter 19 is where we are. Very fitting passage here and chapter for that matter as we head into Easter and Resurrection Sunday here in just a week or two. The John chapter 19, the verse I want to read today is verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. This is the essence of the crucifixion. I was going to say the essence of Easter, but that's not necessarily the case. This is part of Easter. This passage, "It is finished," but that's not the full story. So Jesus giving up his spirit is part of the crucifixion and the overcoming of death, but the ultimate victory came with his resurrection, which is later on in the book there, in John chapter 19 and 20. So that's our scripture for the week, and very fitting as we head into Easter. Couple announcements I want to make before we jump into the news and commentary. We are gathering listener stories for our upcoming Share-a-thon. Those of you who've been listening to American Family Radio for some time know that we have our Share-a-thon in the fall and the spring, and where we ask you to come alongside the ministry and help financially support American Family Radio. As a reminder, we are listener supported, so we need you to help support the work, support the broadcast, so we can keep everything going and on the air. And so part of this, we do love to collect listener stories, listener testimonies about how God has used American Family Radio in your life. And so we give out the number, and these are about 1 or 2 minute audio clips that we play during the week of Share-a-thon. Here's the number to call in, 877-876-8893. 877-876-8893. You can call in and leave about a 1 or 2 minute listener testimony about how God has used American Family Radio in your life. And Lord willing, we'll play that during our 3-day Share-a-thon coming up in April, first or second week of April, coming up pretty soon. Let's see. Let's jump right into the headlines. Let's talk about this government shutdown, and this will lead into some of the other topics we're going to talk about today. But this is a partial government shutdown. I'm sure you've been reading the headlines. We got a partial government shutdown. We're going on 30 plus days of the government shutdown. And one particular agency is affected by this, and that's the Department of Homeland Security. One of the only divisions within DHS that is funded is Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. They were funded through a different budget package last year. But most of the Department of Homeland Security is not funded. They're not up to date on their funding, and thus departments such as TSA, Transportation Security Administration, they're not getting paid. All these TSA security officers in the airports, they're not getting paid, all right? And they're going on their second, they just went past their second paycheck of not getting paid, and it's causing major dysfunction in America's airports. The reason I want to bring this up is not just to rail against the Democrats, although we're going to do that, talk about how crazy this is. Those are all, very self-explanatory truths. What I want to point out is the irrational nature of the people we're dealing with, primarily the Democrat Party. And the Republicans have some blame here too. We'll talk about that. But what the Democrats are wanting here is just so unreasonable. They're wanting things like full amnesty for all illegal immigrants. They're wanting Immigration and Customs Enforcement to stop doing their enforcement operations, which is their job. These are just irrational demands. They're wanting to ensure that ICE officers can't wear masks to cover their face. Well, let me tell you why ICE officers wear a mask in 2026. And it's sad. It shouldn't have to be this way. But between the cartels and the domestic terrorists, there are people that put bounties on immigration officers' heads. We live in such dangerous times that our law enforcement can't go home at night to their families without fear of being hunted down by the cartels. And so thus they have to wear face coverings so that the cartels and the domestic terrorist groups can't run facial recognition and identify these agents. So that's why they have to wear face coverings. This is the same reason that when you see, Israeli security officers protecting people like Netanyahu, they're wearing face masks, and it's not because of COVID. They're wearing face masks so that Iran and Hezbollah and Hamas cannot run facial ID on the agents and identify them. So we're having to deploy the same tactics domestically because we're dealing with crazy and evil people. So that's why ICE officers have been covering their faces. But furthermore, the Democrats have been requesting all of these crazy demands as part of their agreement to fund the Department of Homeland Security. And they've gone to such an extent that they're willing to leave the DHS unfunded and partially inoperable for over a month. And this is at the height of this Iran conflict, where we've got supposed Iranian terror cells in America, when we've seen at least multiple terror attacks just in the last 3 weeks. And our airport security is stretched. It is getting dangerous. This is how bad things happen. But the Democrats don't care. And this is what's concerning. The Democrats don't care. But not only do the Democrats not care, is the Republicans aren't willing to lead and do what has to be done to move past this insanity. And I'll explain how they can do that. But before I do, let's play. This is clip 6. This is the TSA acting head on the instability of funding around TSA and the Department of Homeland Security, clip six.
This fiscal year, TSA has been shut down for 50% of the time, or 85 days. And if still shut down this Friday, we will have reached nearly $1 billion in missed paychecks. This level of disruption is unprecedented and unacceptable and significantly undermines the security of U.S. transportation systems. 99% of the TSA workforce operates outside of the National Capital Region, working across the country, living within your districts and communities. 95%, or more than 61,000 of TSA's employees must continue working without pay during a shutdown. Congress and the traveling public should be proud of the excellent job the TSA workforce does to protect our national security. Paying these dedicated employees for the work they are performing should never be a point of debate. And yet here we are on the 40th day of our third shutdown this fiscal year.
Folks, this is insanity. And I'm not going to really spend much more time talking about how bad the Democrats are, because that's self-evident. I'm wasting my breath to tell you how bad Chuck Schumer is. Everybody knows this. These people are insane. What's more frustrating to me and more disappointing is the Republicans, particularly the leadership in the Senate, refuse to do measures that are within their control and power to move past this insanity. The Republicans control, let's remember, due to the American voters, the Republicans control both chambers of Congress. Well, guess what? According to the Constitution, in order to fund agencies within the government and pass a budget, you need a simple majority in both chambers of Congress. This is Civics 101. The president has to sign the bill, or you can override his veto, which in that case, you need two-thirds. So we can fund the government. Republicans can lead and do sane adult things here and fund the government. But instead, John Thune and Mitch McConnell and all these weaklings want to talk about the filibuster. We got to keep the filibuster. Are you kidding me? We've got six-hour lines at TSA. Who knows how many security breaches are currently happening and will happen. And you want to talk about the filibuster? Which isn't really a filibuster because nobody talks. It's a fake filibuster. The Senate rules, the Senate traditions. Are you kidding me? So this is the frustration that I have, and it's not with the Democrats at this juncture. The Democrats are off the deep end, folks. What more good is it going to do us to gripe and complain about how crazy Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are? This is wasted time, my friends. But Republicans love it. The politicians love complaining about how bad the other side is, and they fundraise off of it, and there's no fix. Well, let's just talk about how bad our enemy is. Folks, at some point, you have to move past the obvious that you're in this instant, in this case, your political opponents are crazy. The Democrats are off the deep end. They're so radical. They're so extreme. They're so irrational. They're so childlike that we can't even fund the government here. We can't even fund core functions of the government here. But John Thune and the Republicans in the Senate can't muster up the not even the courage. This is not even courageous stuff. This isn't like George Washington level courage. This is called adulting. This is being an adult, being a grown up, and looking at this and saying, okay, the Democrats are crazy. They've gone off the deep end. I can't even negotiate with Chuck Schumer because of their insane demands. But I, as a Republican, we're in charge here. We've got the majority. The voters chose to give us the majority in the Senate, and we have the authority to fund the government. We've got 53 votes. But we can't do that because we're hung up on always wanting to partner up with the Democrats to do stuff in government. Why do we have a two-party system or whatever party system we have? If you put one party in charge and then they don't govern. I mean, this is like the rule of the minority, and it is absolutely insane. And Republicans got to grow a backbone here. We'll be back.
The AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Well, welcome back to The Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to have you back with us. Hey, our Activate Summit conference is coming up in July, the 16th through the 18th. We would love to have you join us. This is a phenomenal lineup that we have, our conference that we have every year. Our theme this year is Roots to Fruit, Grounded in Truth, Growing in Grace. And it's going to be obviously in line with our Activate curriculum. And we would love to have you join us here in July, July 16 through 18, coming up here in Tupelo, Mississippi at the Cadence Bank Conference Center. And you can go to activate.afa.net, activate.afa.net, and click on the Summit tab and find out more information about our Activate Summit. But go ahead and register now while you can, because these things typically fill up. So go to activate.afa.net, click on the Summit tab, and we would love to see you July 16th through the 18th here in Tupelo, Mississippi. We'll have a great time of fellowship and the Ark Encounter? Yeah, good point, Bobby. We're also going to the Ark in October of this year. So all of these events are typically over at afa.net/events, so I don't have to give out too many URLs. Yep, there we go, both of them there. So the ARC is going to be October 29th and 30th of this year. We're going to the ARC Encounter in the Creation Museum. This will be our third year, or maybe our fourth. Things go by so fast. And the Activate Summit, as I mentioned, is in July. So all of these events are over at afa.net/events there. You can see the ARC Encounter, Creation Museum event that we'll be going to up in Cincinnati, and then the Activate Summit is in July. You can see both of those over at afa.net/events. All right, the other clip I want to play here in line with this talk of the partial government shutdown, which is primarily the Department of Homeland Security. This is a little unrelated, but yet shows you how the Democrats operate. All right. And once again, I'm not going to spend too much time talking about how bad the Democrats are, because this is all self-evident information. But nonetheless, Senator Ted Cruz, he is chair of the Senate Commerce Committee. And they had a hearing either this morning or yesterday. It was actually this morning. And the Democrats didn't even show up. Zero. Zero Democrat U.S. senators showed up at this commerce meeting to vote on their own legislation. These were bills that the Democrat senators sponsored and co-sponsored that were on the markup, on the schedule for the day for the Commerce Committee to push through. And the Democrats didn't even show up. And so supposedly, they were unable to proceed. I guess maybe a quorum is required for the committee. I'm kind of surprised, because I would think if you have a majority, then you can move forward. But I don't know the Senate rules on these committees and how they work. But nonetheless, they're at a standstill in this Commerce Committee, which at a standstill in Washington is probably a good thing in some cases. But nonetheless, I just want you to hear this clip of Senator Cruz explaining how he and the rest of the Republicans show up to do business on the Commerce Committee, and the Democrats are throwing such a temper tantrum that none of them show up to even pass their own bills. This is going to be clip three.
So this temper tantrum is bizarre, but sadly it is fitting with what we're seeing the Democrats doing across the board. Look, the United States Senate is a body that is meant to be occupied by adults who are actually responsible and capable of doing their job. Half of this committee showed up to work today. Half of this committee is prepared to pass bipartisan legislation that would actually make a difference in this country, but the other half, the Democrats, are more interested in throwing a fit than doing their job. That is unfortunate.
All right, so Democrats don't show up to pass their own legislation out of committee. This is just baffling. What do you do with this? How do you explain this? How do you ration through this? You can't. The Democrats are crazy. They support some of the most loony, evil, insane policies and ideas in this country. From transgender mutilation of children to so-called homosexual marriage, in air quotes, to the Green New Deal scam and the electric vehicle mandate and ditch fossil fuels, to all of the lawfare and witch hunts they've launched against President Trump and conservatives and Republicans, to the cancel culture. I mean, the Democrats, and then their defending of MS-13 and gang members and cartels and, oh, we can't deport anyone. I mean, this is just baffling. This is not where you've got two parties and they're just a little off on what their objectives are and they just got to get together and somebody's got to compromise and we'll meet in the middle and I'll give you this and you give me that and then we'll sign a deal. This is not rational stuff here. And so we've given... The American voters have given Republicans control of both chambers in the White House. And if you're going to use your authority that you've been given by the voters through a duly elected process, now's the time to do it. Here's what I would suggest Senator John Thune and the Republicans in the Senate do. All right, change the rules, but temporarily bypass this dumb fake filibuster, which we're going to have to come up with another name because it's not a filibuster. It's so deceptive what they do here by calling stuff things that it's not. But nonetheless, temporarily set aside your dumb rules in the Senate and go back to the Constitution and use a simple majority to fund the Department of Homeland Security. But I would fund it at the levels that Chuck Schumer agreed 2 months ago. I would pass copy and paste the same bill that Chuck Schumer and the rest of the Democrats signed on to just a few months ago. The same bill to fund DHS. The same bill. Copy and paste everything. Dollar amounts, agency amounts, all provisions, all statutes. Copy and paste it. And the Republicans, with a simple majority, vote, send it to the House, they approve it, send it to Trump, fund the Department of Homeland Security for the rest of the year using the same language that Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries already agreed to and voted affirmatively for. And then you do that, what could they possibly say? You talk about a mic drop moment, and then the Republicans come out and they can do their political pandering. They can say, you know, we waited 4 weeks for the Democrats to come to the negotiating table and do something common sense, but they didn't because they were so committed to their left-wing Marxist ideology to destroy this country that they wouldn't even fund the Department of Homeland Security in a time of conflict with the Iranian terrorist regime. And so we had to be the adults here, and we had to get these critical functions of government back open. So now that we've been adults and we've done the right thing, the responsible thing, by passing the Democrat-approved budget from just a few months ago, let's get back to business. Next question. And then how can Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries complain about the budget that they already agreed to? See, this is not like some sophisticated trigonometry problem that we've got to explain for an hour to everybody. This is just, this is 30 seconds explanation, simple to the American people, and move on. But instead, Senator Thune and these Republicans in the Senate, they're just so weak. They're so weak. They're better at losing than they are leading, and it's exhausting. And it's so, I'm just as tired of it as you are. Because I remember 10 years ago, I was talking about how bad Mitch McConnell was. He was a Senate Majority Leader. He was an unmitigated disaster. He did one thing well, and that was approve judicial nominations. That was it. And that really was the Judiciary Committee. So, and it was like not, it wasn't courageous stuff that they do. This is not courageous stuff that they do. We're talking about passing an appropriation bill to fund the government. This is not, you know, Tiananmen Square stuff. And it's so, the pendulum has swung so far that what you and I are petitioning for is not really grand things here. And I think this is part of the strategy, if we want to be honest. This is part of the strategy of the enemy. And when I say the enemy, I'm talking primarily about factions within our country that want to destroy the West. Part of their ploy, and this has been going on for some time, part of the ploy is to lower the expectations. And this is what's being done, because what I just did, can you believe it? I just lobbied the Republicans to pass the Democrat funding bill from a few months ago of the Department of Homeland Security. Walker Wildman just lobbied, for the sake of proving a point, for us to pass the Democrats' DHS funding bill from a few months ago. You talk about lowering the bar. And then I claimed that we can call that a victory, mainly to prove a point. All right. And you get TSA funded. Everybody opens back up and we can secure our airports. But this is very dangerous right now, by the way. Because I was at JFK yesterday, and you've got lines that are going back probably 1,000 people, hours-long lines, and you've got TSA agents scanning these bags, and they're just rubber-stamping them, putting them through the scanner. They're all exhausted. They're working overtime. They're working double shifts. This is how bad things happen, but the Democrats don't care. They don't care about the safety and the well-being of the American people. But back to the point about lowering the bar, the Washington operation has gotten so bad that what you and I expect out of our leaders is just bare minimum. I mean, it's barely passing the test, barely getting by. And you and I would be like happy about that. We would be ecstatic if Washington just functioned normally. But they don't. And I really hate to bring forth negative talk, negative news, negative analysis with no way out. And so this is not a place where there's no way out, folks. Despite what people tell you, we still live in a representative democracy. And we choose our leaders, okay? And yes, you can go out there and you can tell me, well, isn't there voter fraud and aren't illegal immigrants voting? Yes, there is some of that going on. But what I'm telling you is that in large part, our elections are still mostly legit, mostly fair. And anyone that would refute what I'm saying here, I would beg to say, for you to answer, how on earth Donald J. Trump just got elected? All right, if you're one of these eternal pessimists, these eternal doomsayers that say everything's lost, our elections are rigged, the voting machines, algorithms are rigged, the whole Western experiment is over, is essentially what some people divert to. I would completely beg to differ here. Completely beg to differ. President Trump, one of the most divisive and revolutionary, in a good way, figures in the last, 70 years, 100 years? I mean, Reagan wasn't even this hated. He just won a monumental landslide victory with the popular vote in every single battleground state. President Trump won in 2024. So you can't check out of representative democracy in this constitutional republic that we have because you say all is lost. No, I completely disagree. Not all is lost. So first of all, this doomsaying and this eternal pessimism that some people have, some people even who profess Christ, number one, it is wholly unbiblical. It is wholly unbiblical to give up on doing the right thing because you claim you can never win. That's not in the scripture. Can you imagine if the Apostle Paul just gave up because he didn't think he could complete his missionary journey? Can you imagine if every leader, every righteous person that God has used throughout human history just gave up in the early days, in the early months because it was hard and they just didn't think they could do it? And so those of us that are here, that are blessed enough to live in this country in 2026, we got to step up our game here. This sitting on the sidelines, whining and complaining about everything, it's just not going to cut it. And I don't know what this country looks like in 100 years. I have no idea. Is it going to be here? Is it going to look like it does today? Can we restore it? Can we bring it back to what it once was? I don't know. But we have to do the right thing. And so the point in all of this is that we have to continually do the right thing. And one of the right things we have to do, and we're going to talk to Debbie West now about this, is we have to be civically engaged here. The amount of people who profess Christianity, who profess to be Bible-believing, who yet still sit on the sidelines during elections, during times of civic engagement opportunity, is mind-boggling. And so if you're upset about all the things that we've talked about today, if you're frustrated because Republicans in Congress sometimes don't do the right thing when they should, then let's get everybody off the sidelines. Let's get everybody off the sidelines. Statistically speaking, there are still enough people in this country with their head on at least halfway right that we can continue to move this country in a better direction. We'll be back in a few. In many ways, abortion was on the ballot this past election, and there's reason for concern. There are many counties, cities, and states who have radicalized abortion, and thousands of tiny babies will continue to lose their lives every day. Which is why the Ministry of Preborn is on the front lines for at-risk babies and mothers with unplanned pregnancies. Preborn sponsors clinics positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country by providing them with resources that they need to rescue babies. Preborn continues to expand their life-affirming care. Their end-of-year goal is to equip 10 more clinics with ultrasound machines. These life-saving machines cost $15,000 each, more than most clinics can afford. When a woman meets her baby on ultrasound, she is twice as likely to choose life. And when she comes to a preborn clinic, she will also be embraced with God's love. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and now through a match, your gift is doubled. How many babies can you save? Please donate. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say the keyword baby, or you can go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to The Core here on American Family Radio. Well, as I mentioned, over 30 days now, the Department of Homeland Security has been partially shut down with TSA agents calling in sick and not getting paid for multiple weeks in a row now. and lines at security checkpoints and airports are 5, 6, 7 hours long. Many people missing their flights. Utter chaos, completely unnecessary. And we talked about how the Democrats are off the deep end, completely irrational people, and the Republicans don't have the courage and the backbone to go ahead and fund the government at base levels, non-controversial levels, by the way, to do the right thing, which is their constitutional obligation, if we're being honest, to appropriate money to fund the government. So they're not even obeying their constitutional obligation to fund the government. So a lot of problems there. And obviously, these are elected officials that you and I put in place. And some of them do the right thing. But in this case, they're not doing the right thing to fund the government. Well, on with us now to actually talk about some solutions here is Debbie Wethnow, president of iVoter Guide. She's also a vice president over at AFA Action. And Debbie's with us just for a few minutes to talk about the primaries going on all around the country. Hey, Debbie, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, Debbie, right now we are in primary season, and we want to make sure we keep putting this in front of our listeners. But right now we've got primaries going on all around the country, right?
Primaries, and there's even special elections going on all across the country. We kind of got a break. We finished 4 or 5 of the primaries, and the next ones are out of the come out in May, but we still got runoffs. There's just elections that happen all the time, and every vote makes a difference. We have some examples of races that are super close, so I'm just here to encourage people to vote, to go to iVoter Guide and vote wisely, and get out there and make a difference.
Debbie, one of the data points that you speak to when you talk at these various events and places is this basically lack of turnout during the primary cycle, which is what we're in now, before the general mm-hmm. election season. How very few percentage-wise eligible voters turn out. So you've got these relatively small number of voters that are picking these candidates during the primary cycle. And in a lot of these districts, these congressional districts, the election is essentially chosen during the primary because of how the district breaks down as far as Democrats and Republican voters. Primary elections are the place where you can really have maximum impact, right?
Oh, 100%. So a typical, you know, if you think about presidential election, everybody talks about that. Turnout in those elections can go, you know, higher than 60% of registered voters. Now, I realize not everybody's registered. But in a primary election, on average, it's around 20% of voters who participate. So just a third of those who will vote, you know, for president turn up to vote for, you know, in the primary. And as you said, that's where most legislators actually do get elected. Now, you know, I mentioned there's special elections going on across the nation, and that turnout's even smaller than for a primary election. So every vote makes a huge difference. And just earlier this year, there was a congressional race in Mississippi that it was decided by one vote. So your vote is even more powerful in the primary, and every time there's a school board race that was decided by one vote. So it's just really critical people turn out. And honestly, as we look at these primary elections and these special elections, we're seeing a little bit more enthusiasm on the Democratic side. Hmm. I don't know if you've heard in the news, Florida, they just had a race for a House district, a state House district in Trump's area, really in Mar-a-Lago. He endorsed the Republican candidate, but the Democrat candidate won in Trump's backyard because those more voters are turning out, and it was super close. 400 votes would have flipped it to go the other direction.
Mm.
So every vote makes a difference.
Yeah, that's a crazy example in Mississippi where one vote determined the outcome of a special election or a primary. That's just crazy to think about. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're talking about, and even not in those instances where it's one vote, and in a lot of instances, it's a dozen votes, 100 votes. But you right. You're talking about getting a neighborhood together, and you can flip the election.
Or a church.
Yes.
If a church
duly
would
noted.
Do that, many churches have enough. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Debbie, before we let you go, tell our folks how they can find out their customized, personalized ballot, and also just a couple of the tools you have there at iVoterGuide.com.
Well, sure. Thanks. You go to ivoterguide.com. Think internet voter guide or individualized voter guide. You enter your voting address, and we create a personalized ballot for every address in America, including yours. We don't have them all released right now. Our team is feverishly working on researching all the candidates, but I would encourage you to sign up for our email list, and then we will let you know when we have released your voter guide. The other information you can find on iVoterGuide is where's your polling place. Maybe you're not registered to vote, and I would strongly encourage you to do that. You can go to iVoterGuide.com and scroll down and click on your map or your state on the map, and we will give you a link to get registered to vote. Again, if you sign up for our emails, we'll let you know when we've released voter guides for you or even a special election or school board that we're covering that you may not even realize an election is happening. And we also send educational emails. You know, a lot of us don't even understand the role, full role of government. How do certain cultural issues impact politics? And we just send once a week an educational topic to make sure that all of our listeners and our supporters are educated on the issues and prepared to vote when it is time to vote. So iVoterGuide.com is your election resource. Check it out.
There you have it, folks. iVoterGuide.com. Key in your address and you'll get your personalized ballot. They'll even tell you when your election is coming up and all of the deadlines associated with it. Hey, Debbie, thanks for joining us and safe travels.
Thanks. Good to talk to you, Walker.
Absolutely. That's Debbie Withnow with iVoterGuide. And it's one of the great, one of the best voter resources in the country, probably the best voter guide. I say that often, and it's true. I have not been presented with anything that matches it. It's very expansive, very comprehensive, covers thousands of races and tens of thousands of candidates that are evaluated through iVoterGuide, very in-depth, all easily accessible online, even with a personalized ballot by keying in your address, iVoterGuide.com. Well, back to current events, I want to make sure I talk a little bit about this Iran situation as we wrap up the program. I'm going to play a couple clips here just to bring us back to what we were told were the primary objectives when we launched this operation against Iran. This first clip is Secretary Rubio within, let's say, a week or so of launching operation against Iran. This is going to be clip one. Let's listen.
The goals of this mission are clear, and it's important to continue to remind the American people of why it is that the greatest military in the history of the world is engaged in this operation. It is to destroy the ability of this regime to launch missiles, both by destroying their missiles and their launchers, destroy the factories that make these missiles, and destroy their navy.
All right, well, there you have it. That's Secretary Rubio within, let's say, one to two weeks of launching this operation in Iran, telling us what their primary objectives are. That doesn't mean you can't have other objectives kind of in the background, but these were the leading objectives that would determine whether this is a success or a failure. Of course, where we are now, it appears we're being very successful in achieving those objectives. I'm going to play another clip just to put this, just to give this more corroboration of another clip of Rubio within another time frame, all of this within the last month, by the way, where Secretary Rubio repeats the same objective. This is very consistent narrative here. This is going to be clip two.
Maximum success. We want this operation to be successful at achieving its objectives. I'll repeat the objectives. The president laid them out yesterday. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. It cannot have, and therefore it cannot have the things it was hiding behind to have a nuclear weapons program. What are those things? Number one, we are going to destroy their missiles and their missile launchers. We are going to destroy their capability to make these missiles and these launchers, and we are going to destroy their Navy. Those are the objectives, and this weekend acting at this time gave us the highest probability of success in achieving those objectives, and as the Department of War will brief you, we are on or ahead of schedule to do that.
All right, so those objectives, personally, I can agree with those. I've been a little hesitant on this conflict, this what is de facto war, or before it happened, because I just didn't know how it was going to take place. But once Secretary Rubio and President Trump came out after the campaign was launched and explained, hey, this is why we're doing it, this is our scope, these are our objectives, I looked at that and I thought, you know, if we can do this, we can do it right, long term, this could be very good for us. for multiple reasons. Iran, by the way, is responsible for mass amounts of instability, all right? Iran, yes, they're evil. Yes, they're a Sharia law, radical Islamic nation. But more importantly, they've caused mass amounts of instability and death in that region for 50 years. These are bad dudes, and you don't need to spend 20 minutes to convince me of that. So if we can take out their military capabilities in a matter of 4 weeks and basically decapitate their entire military and bring historic levels of peace in the region long-term, where there's no more proxies, no more threats of ballistic missiles, no more closing down the Strait of Hormuz. If you can eliminate all of those threat factors for another 40 years, that is a big deal. That's a long-term strategic victory. So that's why initially I'm like, okay, I think this could be done. This could be reasonable. This could be good in the long term. But what I am skeptical about, until I'm proven otherwise, I'm skeptical about this morphing into something more than what it originally started out to be. And obviously the U.S. has over the last 30 years, has a track record of going into a conflict with a handful of objectives that morph into two handfuls of objectives, half of which are unattainable. And so it's not as if we don't have a history of this. We do. We have a history of starting out with a scope of something, such as let's find and remove the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and then boom, 20 years later, we're still there. Over $1 trillion and thousands of American troops dead. So we have a track record as a country. Our political leaders have a track record of not making wise long-term decisions on these type matters. So the skepticism is warranted, all right? So I think President Trump needs to be very careful here, as now there's reports about the 82nd Airborne and deploying Marine vessels to the region. I just don't know, folks, honestly. And once again, I could be proven wrong. I could turn around in 3 weeks and say this is the smartest move I've ever seen in my life by President Trump. So that's always possible. But as it stands today, I just do not, under any circumstance, see how American military boots anywhere on the ground in Iran turns out in a positive manner. All right? They're talking about sending in troops to take over this Karg Island, this oil depot that Iran has that apparently is responsible for 90% of their exports. Maybe they're talking about troops being stationed on the coast of Iran to allow the Strait of Hormuz to reopen. Whatever the case, boots on the ground at this juncture, with all that we've decapitated of their military, I just don't know how that works out in any transformative long-term manner that doesn't involve a years-long campaign in the region. Initially, we were told 4 to 6 weeks. That's what President Trump said, quote, 4 to 6 weeks. Well, we're going on week number four, all right? And if you drop in, mark my word, if you drop in the 82nd Airborne anywhere in Iran, or really anywhere in the region, but specifically anywhere within the Iranian border, folks, we are talking about a months-long, possibly years-long operation. When you look at this and look at past examples of these type deployments, you do not drop in boots on the ground, whether it's 3,000 or 10,000, you do not drop in boots on the ground within enemy territory for a mission that is going to last 4 to 6 weeks. Now, I'm not talking about a Maduro operation that takes 3 hours. I'm talking about setting up shop in Iran with American boots. You do not do that for something that's going to be weeks long. It's way logistically way too much involved for something that's going to last weeks and not months or years. So if we drop boots on the ground in Iran, folks, we're there for the long haul. We're there for months, if not years. And so I just think our leaders need to be very careful here. It's looking like we've achieved most of our objectives here. We haven't gotten the enriched uranium yet, or we haven't gotten them to give it up. But other than that, on the missile launchers and the drone factories and the ballistic missile production, most of that's been taken care of here. So I think the U.S. needs to stick to their primary objectives.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.